Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And hi again, everybody. We welcome you to another episode of If You Don't Like That, brought to you in part by New Works Plumbing of Sacramento. Locally owned for over 20 years, New Works has a fix for you. For your plumbing needs and repairs, just go to newworksplumbing.com, newworksplumbing.com. New Works Plumbing, they've got a fix for you. If You Don't Like That is also brought to you by Bennett's Restaurants with three locations, Sacramento, Roseville, and Rockland. Go to bennettsrestaurants.com, check out the menu and more. Prime seafood and steaks at Bennett's. It is awesome. Again, that is bennettsrestaurants.com. Hey, before I start today's episode, I want to point out that tomorrow, Wednesday, March 6th, Scott Pollard will be on my YouTube channel live at 5 o'clock Pacific. That is on If You Don't Like That. You can check out my YouTube channel, If You Don't Like That. Scott Pollard, again, Wednesday, that's tomorrow, March 6th at 5 o'clock. Sad news this week with the passing of Chris Mortensen of ESPN, who was a fixture in our homes over the years, very much like John Clayton was during his tenure at ESPN. I was very blessed to get to know John Clayton very well. Didn't really get to know Mort, but interviewed him in person when I was at ESPN Radio a number of times. And all of the things that I've seen in memory of Mort this week, they've all said the same thing. What a great guy, how much people respected him, how he always had time for others. He was top shelf. And I've told this story before, but you know, maybe you have only been following me for a period of time and maybe you haven't heard this story, but during the NBA lockout back in 1998, I received a call from ESPN Radio and they wanted me to come in to Bristol, Connecticut to host game night on Saturday and Sunday. Those were shows that went from 7 to 1 in the morning. And so the first time I went was at the end of August, and it was just phenomenal. I took the red eye after my show in Sacramento on a Friday through Chicago into Hartford, and then we go to the rental car, get the car, and drive a short distance, some 20, 25 minutes to Bristol and the headquarters of ESPN. And I'll never forget the first time that I was there because, gee, I couldn't believe I was going to go to the ESPN campus and do shows on both Saturday and Sunday. Well, as it turned out, after my first weekend, I got a call from Len Weiner, who was in charge of ESPN Radio back then, and he asked me if I could come back the following weekend. And that turned into 3 weekends every month that I was commuting back and forth between Sacramento and Bristol, Connecticut. And during the football season, I used to hang out with John Clayton a lot, and we lost John well too soon. I mean, it was just way too soon at age 67 from a short illness. And John was just a great guy. And John used to hang out with a lot of us on ESPN Radio because he actually did a lot of ESPN Radio, particularly on Saturday nights. On Sundays during the football season, he was over on the TV side and radio, but he did a lot of TV. Chris Mortensen was only TV, but on Sundays after everything was done, if Mort was in Bristol on a football weekend, Mort would come over and do a show with us. In other words, a segment. And I got to know Mort. And again, when I say I got to know him, I mean, I would talk to him. We would interview him. But I could just see the immense respect that everyone had for Mort. And being at ESPN back in that era, I used to watch the NFL on Sundays with Mike Golic and John Clayton and Tony Bruno and so many other guys. I mean, it was so much fun to be hanging out at ESPN Radio and working at ESPN Radio. Tom Jackson would come in very often and do Sunday night segments with us after he and Berman got off. And Boomer was great. And not every Sunday, but a number of times, Chris Berman would come over. And he was always very conversational, and he was great with names. So, like, Chris would come in, and after the first time he met me, the next time he came in, he goes, "Hey, Grant, how are you tonight?" And I was just blown away that, you know, Chris Berman, you know, remembered my name. And it was like a fraternity there back in the late 90s. I don't know how it is now, but back then, you know, it was like a fraternity. And Tony Bruno and Chuck Wilson were the main guys on ESPN Radio. And I got to meet Bob Valvano, who did shows, Jimmy Valvano's brother, obviously. I did shows with Joe D'Ambrosio, a really good friend of mine to this day, and several other personalities that to this day I still stay in contact with. But doing the shows on Saturday and Sunday, particularly on an NFL Sunday at ESPN Radio, was incredible. But, you know, what I do remember about Chris Mortensen was he always had time for everyone. You could tell he was tired because, you know, again, you've got to get there early in the morning. He's doing the early games, the late games. He's doing shows with Boomer and Tom Jackson and SportsCenter, you know, if he wasn't out in the field. But he always made time for us. And I always thought, wow, how cool is it? Because they, by the way, that was not part of their contract. You know, we would ask them to come over and do a segment. You know, our producers would reach out to them. And even though it's the same company, they didn't have to do ESPN Radio. If they came over from the TV side, which was a short walk over a sky bridge, you know, you didn't have to go outside. It was, you know, maybe, I don't know, 50 yards. You know, it wasn't a long walk. But the point is, they weren't required to do that. They did it because they were trying to help us out. And it was phenomenal to be able to interview Chris Mortensen and Tom Jackson, and as I said, all the others. But in just reading all of the tributes to Chris Mortensen the past few days, it's really been incredible. And Peter King announced his retirement recently. And Peter has always been a very special person in my life for his accessibility. And I tell the story that when I was doing a show before KHDK on KSAC in Old Sacramento, I was interviewing Peter King one day, and Peter said to me at the end of the interview on air, "Hey, Grant, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Yeah, Peter, go ahead." He goes, "You know, I've been asked to do TV, and I just wanted to know if you had any advice for me." And I said, "Yeah, don't change. Don't let people change you." And I want to read you an excerpt from Peter King's great, great column that he put out each and every Monday, Peter King's Football Morning America. And he says, "I'll always consider the late Will McDonough the charter member of the Mount Rushmore of the niche genre of NFL television information people. Chris Mortensen, who died this weekend at 72, forever belongs right next to him. Mortensen, a giant in the world of NFL journalism, died Sunday. The cause was not announced. We know that he was struggling with throat cancer that was first diagnosed in 2016. But Mortensen," Peter writes, "who retired from ESPN after the 2023 NFL draft, had been battling stage 4 throat cancer and related maladies since 2016. I was stunned to hear the news Sunday, because we just spoke a few days ago, and his voice was as strong as his will. He said he was feeling good, and 10 months into his retirement from ESPN, was looking forward to following another season of his son Alex's coaching career at Alabama Birmingham's offensive coordinator. Mortensen made every ESPN show he worked must-see TV for those of us in the NFL news business, and his writing was as valuable. Quote, his credibility, attention to detail, and reporting skills catapulted our news and information to a new level, end quote, said Norby Williamson, executive editor and head of studio production for ESPN, in a statement on Sunday. While a patient for the throat cancer at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston in March 2016, he broke a huge story, the retirement of Peyton Manning, first tweeting the news break and then writing the first story about it. The info business can be brutally dog-eat-dog, but one of Mortensen's fiercest rivals, Fox's Jay Glazer, praised him this way. Glazer wrote, "Happy for Peyton Manning, writing off on his own terms. Happier that At Mort Report kicked my ass on this story. To me, that story sums up Mortensen's ethos. Fighting for his life, but the news takes precedence, even in some very dark hours. When I talked to Manning late Sunday afternoon about it, he admitted that because of his great respect for Mortensen, he wanted him to be the one to break the two biggest stories in the second act of his career. Signing with Denver in 2012, a story that Mort broke with Adam Schefter, then retiring from Denver in 2016. Over the years, Manning said, I had great respect for the media. I respected the job the media people in Indianapolis and in Denver had. But the hardest things about being a free agent is you've got no team. I remember through the process of picking Denver in 2012, I talked a lot to Mort and to Adam Schefter because they knew so much about every team needing a quarterback that year. They helped me with guidance. I'd known Chris for so long because he came to the Manning Passing Academy almost from the first year we established it, and we built such a good relationship over the years. So when I was going to retire, I called Mort. I said, hey, I wanted to let you know I'm going to retire. I'd like you to make the announcement. But if you can't do it because of your health, I totally understand. I mean, we all knew he was being treated then, but he said, I'll do it. Let me write this up really quick. That was Mort, dedicated to his craft, always. That's not the whole story. There's a part of the story that is Mortensen to the core. Manning made the call to Mortensen on Saturday. After telling him, Manning said, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you give one last night, or can you give me one last night as an NFL quarterback to go out to dinner with family and friends? Can you hold it? Mortensen agreed. He would hold the story until Sunday. He and the news desk at ESPN prepared a written story that would post early the next morning. Mortensen's boss on the football show, Seth Markman, was worried they'd get beaten on the story. If Manning told Mort, someone would tell someone else, and we might lose the giant scoop. Mortensen would not budge. Nothing until Sunday morning. Quote, it's not even a discussion, Mort said. I gave my word. We're sitting on it. If somebody else breaks it, so be it. And that's what else you need to know about Chris Mortensen. That's why people told him things for decades. Players and coaches and commissioners could trust him. One more story for Manning. Quote, so he just started coming to our passing camp every summer. He just loved being around all the coaches, all the quarterbacks, and us. He sat in our staff meetings. He'd ride around the camp in the golf cart with my dad. The one thing that used to get my dad mad was when the counselors would leave camp early. The last practice was on Sunday, and if you came to coach, you were expected to stay through that last practice. But every year, a few guys would leave. This one year, a bunch of guys left, and we were going around to the different groups that Sunday, and there was Mort coaching some of the campers. I don't know what the parents of those campers thought seeing Mort coaching their kids, but he saw a need, and he just stepped in to help, end quote. In 2017, 21 months into his treatment for the cancer, Mortensen sat down with me to discuss the intimate details of it. It was clear it had changed his life. Quote, there were days I was so weak, I couldn't even pray for myself, Mortensen told me for my podcast. In your weakest moments, you're just existing. I never went through a pity party, except for maybe two moments in July of 2016, in which I wondered if I'd be alive in 2 to 4 months. I lived in four-hour blocks with a feeding tube. Other than that, I've always been in pretty good spirits. The disease, he said, taught him a lot. Quote, it's so personal. When I look in the mirror, I can't recognize myself. You realize you'll never be the same for good reasons. You really learn how to treasure life. You learn to love every day. I get up every day. Thank you, Lord. Let's have some fun today. Let's enjoy it. Last week, in his phone call to me, he said some very nice things about my impact on the business. His impact will never be forgotten, but not just on our business. I'll remember his grace and his ethos in dealing with a life-altering disease just as much. There is no good segue after such sad news, but I'll move on with my last column, which belongs mostly to you, the readers. What a great eulogy from the top, top shelf, Peter King, who I have just adored in many, many areas and for many good reasons. But that was some tribute to Chris Mortensen. And I wonder, when I have Scott Pollard on my show tomorrow at 5 o'clock Pacific, if he'll talk about some of the things that he thinks about every day and how grateful he is now that he has a new lease on life, thanks to a donor and the heart that he received some 2.5 weeks ago. And as Peter King said, there's really no great way to segue to my rant, but that's what I do.
It's time for Grant's Rant.
And Grant's Rant is brought to you in part by a person in Jay Griffiths and his business, Gold Country Veterinarian Hospital, that I have a ton of respect for. And Jay and this phenomenal veterinarian hospital is located in Auburn. They serve the foothills. They serve Roseville. They serve the greater Sacramento area. They're full service. We're talking about medicine, dentistry, surgery, and wellness care. And they're dedicated to urgent care. So, hey, when your pet needs to be seen, they're available. They have advanced internal medicine, CAT scans, ultrasounds. I mean, they do it all, full surgical care from spay and neuter packages to advanced orthopedic procedures. They've got the most modern technology from CO2 laser surgery, therapeutic laser treatments to head and full body CT screening. And they're very proud of their pain management protocols for maximizing faster recovery for our surgical and dental patients, Jay says, and that's exactly what he does. He's a phenomenal man, and that veterinarian hospital in Auburn is top shelf. Also want to welcome back Foster's and Paws. They are a group of passionate animal advocates, and they work hard to save lives. They primarily focus on vulnerable dogs and shelters, and they look at every family and every animal as individuals, and they do a great job with youth, treating animals with respect and teaching them that you can really have lifelong benefits. They are looking for adopters, donors, and fosters. To learn more, just go to fostersandpaws.org/adopt. That's fostersandpaws.org/adopt. Last night, the Sacramento Kings had a chance to build on maybe their best win of the year in Minnesota. Playing without De'Aaron Fox, they beat the top seed of the West Timberwolves in overtime. So 2 days off, they come back home and take on a Bulls team, not a playoff team. And in the second half, Sacramento has a 22-point lead. And then they end up losing the game. That's right. The Sacramento Kings lost to the Chicago Bulls last night. So much for momentum. So much for staying in sixth. Not anymore. They are now seventh with the Lakers coming up tomorrow. And then the San Antonio Spurs back in Sactown the next night. Here's what I do know about Sacramento. I feel more confident with them on the road than at home. They're just not a good home team. And last night, once again, proved their inconsistency, losing to the Bulls 113-109. Pathetic. Embarrassing. There's no other way to say it. That was a horrible loss for Sacramento, dropping them down to seventh in the West. But the one thing we know about the Kings this year, they have been inconsistent all year. It is the only consistent thing that you can say about the Kings in the 23-24 season. And that's my rant for today. That's my podcast for today. Make it a great day. And remember, tomorrow at 5 o'clock Pacific over on my YouTube channel, if you don't like that, Scott Pollard. So long, everybody.